Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 2nd, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
There are about a billion cells in the volume of a sugar cube in the bottom of the ocean.
When you provide the apes with the proper cues, they can trigger the memories as fast as humans will do.
Every human population uses the materials in the environment and they work out some sort of a viable diet, and it has to have all of the nutrients that you require. And there are just literally thousands of different combinations of plant and animal foods that can have this effect.
This week, did our ancient ancestors really eat paleo? And could the full moon keep you from getting a good night's sleep? Also, new research suggests great apes remember the distant past. But first, Suzanne Bard reports on efforts to find new drugs in the ocean.
Antibiotics don't work as well as they used to. That's because harmful bacteria like MRSA, also known as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, are evolving the ability to resist available antibiotics. Patients in hospitals who often have compromised immune systems are especially at risk from these kinds of antibiotic-resistant infections. I sat down with Scripps Institution oceanographer William Fennicle, who says most antibiotics come from nature, but terrestrial sources of new ones have largely been exhausted, so researchers are now turning to the sea.
We are currently facing a medical emergency with respect to the development of infectious diseases that can no longer be controlled with the antibiotics that we have. And in fact, bacterial infections cause more deaths in the U.S. than HIV/AIDS. New antibiotics are desperately needed. The last antibiotic was introduced in 1993. It's now 2013. And with the medical emergency that we face now, we felt that we should turn considerable attention to what kinds of antibiotics might be produced by organisms in the sea.
Many species have evolved novel ways to fight infectious diseases. Fennicle and his colleagues systematically search ocean sediments for potential antibiotics.
We use remote collecting devices and send them down to the bottom, collect the sand or mud, whatever the composition is, bring it back, come into the laboratory, and cultivate the microbes present there. In the beginning, the testing is very simple. All we do is look on petri dishes to see if we have microorganisms that will kill other bacteria.
During routine sampling, Fennicle's colleague, Chris Kaufman, brought back a microorganism growing on sand particles off the coast of Santa Barbara. The organism produces a compound which shows promise as an antibiotic. In collaboration with UC San Diego scientists, they've discovered that it kills MRSA in mice.
And they've shown complete cures. It's very potent. It's quite a bit more potent than most of the antibiotics. What's important about this discovery is that this does not belong to any known class of antibiotics. That means that it has a different chemical structure. The formulation has never been conceived of or synthesized in earlier work with antibiotics.
That means pathogens like MRSA haven't had the chance to evolve resistance to it yet. But that's not all. A company called Trius Therapeutics tests potential agents to fight bioterrorism. They found that the compound is also highly effective at killing the bacteria that causes anthrax poisoning. Fennicle said that led to the new antibiotic's name, anthracycline. The drug needs further testing before it can be used in humans, but its discovery highlights the untapped potential of sea life as a source of future medicines.
There are about a billion cells in the volume of a sugar cube in the bottom of the ocean. And these organisms represent an enormous resource when you consider the vastness of the ocean bottom.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Does a particular scent or a favorite song trigger specific memories for you? Turns out apes may share our ability to recall memories on cue. In an experiment, chimpanzees and orangutans received food rewards for paying attention to where a researcher placed a tool. 3 years later, the researchers presented the apes with a cue associated with that event. Aarhus University psychologist Hema Martin Ordis says the animals remember the exact locations of the tools.
And they did it really fast, in 5 seconds. When you provide the apes with the proper cues, they can trigger the memories as fast as humans will do.
She says this is the first time non-human animals have been shown to recall events that took place so long ago.
I was really surprised that they remembered the event that happened 3 years ago.
Next, if you haven't heard of the so-called Paleolithic or Paleo diet, you must have been hiding in a cave. But did our hunter-gatherer ancestors really eat paleo? Suzanne investigates.
Proponents of the Paleo diet claim that we're evolutionarily adapted to eat diets rich in meat, seafood, fruits, vegetables, and nuts, and should avoid modern agricultural products like grains, dairy, and many vegetable oils. But University of California, Berkeley anthropologist Catherine Milton says in reality, it's likely that ancient hunter-gatherers ate a highly variable diet depending on where they lived. What's more, their diets were strongly influenced by cultural practices.
Human beings move around. They've moved around now. It's literally covered the entire globe, and every human population uses the materials in the environment, and they work out some sort of a viable diet, and it has to have all of the nutrients that you require. And there are just literally thousands of different combinations of plant and animal foods that can have this effect. Human beings are cultural omnivores, and their niche is the niche of the cultural organism. That's how we evolved. You can't have any kind of rigid genetic programming, and it's just very hard to generalize, make some sweeping declaration about the paleo diet.
She says there's also evidence that our early ancestors did eat some grains and probably didn't have access to large amounts of meat.
There's a lot of evidence that wild grains were harvested routinely by many hunter-gatherer peoples and utilized, and they originated in the tropics. And so we can just assume that in general, most of the animals were not particularly fat, because typically, animals that lay down quite a lot of fat tend to live in temperate latitudes where it's very cold.
So if you do decide to eat paleo, enjoy. Just keep in mind, it's probably not how all of our ancestors ate.
Thanks, Suzanne. Even in a windowless room, the full moon seems to affect people's sleep. This according to researchers at the University of Basel in Switzerland, writing in the journal Current Biology. During a full moon, 33 volunteers in the laboratory took an average of 5 minutes longer to fall asleep and slept for 20 minutes less. In addition, their deep sleep brain activity was reduced by 30%. The finding means that humans, like many other animals, have a circalunar clock in the brain. The researchers are now interested in finding out where it's located and how it works. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll investigate the criminal minds behind credit card fraud, and we'll go in search of blue whales off the California coast. Until then, tune in to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition, every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.